Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
They couldn't think of a circumstance in which this procedure was the absolutely only procedure that could be used in a given case.
Jack Kevorkian has one main interest, and that's Jack Kevorkian, and his next interest is death. Somebody else's, not his.
The people in the United States are not looked upon as innocent in the eyes of jihadists because these people participate by voting during the election and electing the government. They are just as guilty as soldiers fighting on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I also would like to thank our friends here in the media. May God spare us from all of the bad things they can do to us.
Well, that is an excellent prayer.
I cannot think of a more appropriate subject to kick off this Tuesday afternoon's Issues Etc. than the one we're going to be doing here in the first half hour of the program. We're going to talk about one man's journey from, well, he started out as kind of an evangelical, United Pentecostal, and then into the Enlightenment, which led him to atheism, finally to confessional Lutheranism. What an appropriate story for us to tell on this day. It's a big day here at Lutheran Public Radio and Issues Etc., our good friend of the program, a good personal friend of all three of us here, me, Jeff, and Craig, Pastor Matt Harrison, just elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod by a 54% to 45% margin. Very nice, very good news for us. It's something that we've been hoping and praying for. And as I said, apropos of our conversation here, talking about one man's journey into the Reformation and confessional Lutheranism. Jim Pierce will be our guest here for the first half hour. And in the course of these 2 hours of Issues Etc., Pastor Matt Harrison will be joining us live from Houston, Texas, for a brief interview and his thoughts on the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and his impending service as that church body's president. He'll be joining us live from Houston a little bit later in the program, so please stay tuned. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc., 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and you can always send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. After our conversation with Jim Pierce, we'll be talking with Dr. David Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, answering some common objections from other Christians to the biblical teaching on the Lord's Supper. That'll take us to the end of the first hour. In the second hour of the program, hopefully at that time, a conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison, president-elect of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, live from Houston. Then we'll continue our series on Christ Alone with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse. And we'll be talking about the law, God's condemnation of our sin, that series continuing in the second hour. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Jim Pierce is a small business owner in Seattle. He's editor of the new book, Wittenberg Confessions, Testimonies of Converts to Confessional Lutheranism. Jim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me on, Pastor Wilkin.
Well, as someone who isn't a lifelong Lutheran, give us your thoughts about the election of Pastor Matt Harrison as the next president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I was watching on streaming video the results, the election results, and if I could have done a Pentecostal jig, and I know how to do it, I would have done one. I mean, it's amazing. I'm happy. I'm really happy. I think it's God is going to really use the office of the Synod President and Matthew Harrison. He can really use it to bring us together to repentance and to have true godly unity around doctrine.
And before we go on with our conversation with Jim, I should also mention that Jeff is telling me that President Herb Miller of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and a personal longtime friend of mine, just a great pastoral friend of mine, has just been elected first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod by a 53% margin on the first ballot, too. So more good news there. Jim, your story fascinates me because you didn't come to confessional Lutheranism via atheism through some sort of Christian confession and then on to the Reformation. You actually kind of stopped in atheism for a while between where you started and where you ended. Tell us your story.
Well, you know, I grew up in a household that was deeply religious, but we got involved with a Pentecostal cult early on, the United Pentecostal Church International. And they rejected doctrine of the Trinity, et cetera. But what they really focus on are our deeds, our works for our justification. So I started life in a works, you know, from a works righteousness perspective early on in false doctrine. And that drove me to despair. I understood I could not make myself good. And eventually it knocked me completely into atheism, took me to atheism. When I, you know, arrived at atheism, again, I was caught up in works righteousness. How could I make myself better? How could I become a better human being? As I write in the book, you know, I really was caught up in the Nietzschean idea of the Superman, an Übermensch. I thought really I was above any sort of rules, that I could make the rules as I go. When God eventually got a hold of my heart, Lutheranism, the truth of the gospel that shines through Lutheranism, was the natural course to go. I had no other place to go except for where God's gospel is purely taught.
So you began in what is ostensibly a Christian denomination, but is in fact, as you said, probably closer theologically to a cult, a denial of the doctrine of the Trinity, a Pentecostal church body, if you will, which happens, by the way, to be headquartered, if I'm not mistaken, right here in this area, in the St. Louis area. You were kind of a rising star, at least early on, in the pastorate of that Pentecostal group, weren't you?
That is correct. I started preaching at a very young age. I was heavily involved in their youth ministry, youth work, and that led to my ordination eventually. And I was on my way to be becoming an assistant pastor over a church and being given my own congregation soon after that. And that is when I really started, I shouldn't say really started, but that's when I really became concerned about my age and my lack of knowledge, because this particular Pentecostal sect really frowns upon any sort of formal education, especially secular education, and so I didn't have it. But soon thereafter, I went after it. I started taking Greek classes at a local Bible college in the area, and that's when I realized, well, I'm part of a cult. You know, they deny the truth of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. They're focused on works righteousness. And in turn, I resigned my credentials, and I left the United Pentecostal Church. And following my mentors at that time, which happened to be one of which was the late Dr. Walter Martin, I became a Baptist.
So, my goodness, Jim, how from that to atheism?
Well, my thirst for knowledge just grew. I was really attracted to rationalism, and what had really brought me out of Pentecostalism was not the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it was this thinking on my part that somehow I have done yet one work, another work again, to save myself. I found through head knowledge the truth. And so that's what really brought me to becoming a Baptist. And so it was this thirst of knowledge that drove me even further. It was like, well, if I could discover these truths, then, you know, what other truths could I discover? So I entered the University of Washington. My major was political science and philosophy. In fact, I'm 5 credits away from 2 degrees, undergraduate degrees. And so I just really had a thirst for knowledge, and I fell into rationalism. Soon after that, it was just, you know, all downhill. It just spiraled into itself.
What I'm wondering here, Jim, is, and look, I love philosophy. I think philosophy is, as long as it is remains the handmaiden of theology, can actually heighten one's ability to think and think well, and even in some cases do good theology. But it sounds as though you went into your study of human wisdom, so to speak, ill-equipped with the true wisdom of God in order to kind of correct it, and it just sucked you in. Am I wrong?
No, in fact, I would even strengthen your statement and say I went into it already hating God and wasn't fully aware of that fact. Because you have to remember, when I was a United Pentecostal, I was under the boot of the law. And when I arrived at the Baptist church, I'm sure their intentions are good. They were good, but they weren't teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sure, I mean, we had sermons, etc., but most of the sermons catered to, you know, how could I be a better me? How could I have a better marriage? How could I be successful as a Christian in the business world? You know, that all has its place, but it's certainly not the stuff of Sunday morning sermon. So I never really fully heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so you know, my heart was already hardened against God. When I finally did get to college and I finally did start studying, I just used that as the leverage, so to speak, to just, you know, make it final. I hate God and he doesn't exist.
Jim Pierce is our guest. We're talking about his journey from atheism to Lutheranism. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned. What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top 5 hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, July the 13th. I mentioned before, a big day here at Issues Etc. Pastor Matt Harrison and President Herb Miller of the Southern Illinois District elected president and first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod just moments ago, respectively. And we'll have Pastor Matt Harrison with us here in a few minutes on the program, talking to us live from Houston, Texas. In the meantime, Jim Pierce is with us. He is editor of a new book, Wittenberg Confessions, Testimonies of Converts to Confessional Lutheranism, telling us his story. Okay, so you basically were taught by Oneness Pentecostalism and the Baptist Church to hate God because they were teaching you, in essence, to depend upon your own works. When and where did it first come clear to you, sitting there, as you say, in kind of the pig pen of atheism, that it wasn't about your works?
Well, you know, thank God. I thank God every day for faithful Lutherans who are able to express his word to people just like I was and am, a sinner who needs God's forgiveness every single day. But it was this Lutheran woman who, before I actually fully tumbled off into atheism, she spoke to me the gospel of Jesus Christ. She had invited me to speak at her home to a small group of friends about Oneness Pentecostalism, and she at once recognized that I didn't know the gospel, and so we actually debated. I debated with her. You know, she hadn't convinced me of anything rationally, but she spoke the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. The Word of God was read to me. That stuck with me. So the Holy Spirit, 4 years ago, used that word, and I don't know, it was almost like a light switch turned on. I knew I was in trouble with God. God existed. He was very real to me, still is, and I just knew I was in trouble with him, and I remembered her words.
You came to confessional Lutheranism, not just casual Lutheranism, because I've read what you've written, and we've been acquainted for a number of years simply through, you know, various media.
Right.
That this is not a casual thing. This isn't just, oh, I became a Christian, and, you know, Lutherans seem to make the most sense to me. You know, for a lot of people, it's halfway between the Baptists and the Catholics. It's a comfortable medium. This is a position of conviction for you. Why so, Jim?
Because of the forgiveness of sins. It's really that simple. I, as an atheist, I blasphemed God. I tried to deconvert Christians. I was quite evangelistic. I belonged to organizations like the Freedom from Religion Foundation. And when God spoke to my heart through his word and showed me, gave me a gift of faith and showed me that I was a sinner who was sick in need of the forgiveness of sins, I needed to be somewhere where I could hear every sermon delivered to me that I am a sinner who is forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I knew I wasn't going to find that in my Pentecostal past, and I knew I never heard anything like that in my Baptist past. But I just knew from the Word of God that I had to be somewhere where the forgiveness of sins is all around me, and sure enough, I found that at Messiah Lutheran here in Seattle. Through the Lord's Supper, I'm forgiven. Being reminded about my baptism, I'm forgiven. I hear the Word of God, I'm forgiven. Confession and absolution. The liturgy sings forgiveness to me, and I couldn't be anywhere else.
Talk about that liturgy a little bit, because in your chapter of this book, Wittenberg Confessions, you kind of end by talking about entering a Lutheran church where the historic liturgy is still practiced and confessed and the impression that it made on you. Talk about that, if you would.
It's wonderful. It is no exaggeration when I say it is like being at a crossroads where heaven and earth meet together. The pastor's words, solid long gospel, piercing my heart, and then the forgiveness of sins, Christ coming to me in those words, telling me I'm forgiven. What a blessing and a joy for me to hear that every Sunday because I need it, and then to crescendo into the Lord's Supper, where I receive the very body and blood of Christ. This is more than symbolism, of course, for Lutherans, but even more so, apart from the Lutheran doctrine, that this is just, it's real for me. It is for me. That's what Christ said, given for you. But I can hardly explain with words just how wonderful that it is to hear the very Word of God, to sing psalms, to sing the Word of God all around how that we are sinners and that we are forgiven of our sins. And this is all by the grace of God alone.
And it's not just you. It's also your family, isn't it?
It's also my family. I praise God. My daughter, she's my eldest. She's in college right now. I'm very proud of her. She's 20 years old. She had crushed my heart. She told me that she was an atheist. Told me twice on two occasions, and I wrestled with this, and it was quite a burden for me. But look at the amazing things that God has done. My son was baptized in August of last year. My wife soon after. Started attending, reaffirmed her faith. She was never a Lutheran before. And then my daughter, she was baptized just last year as well. I praise God for all of these things because I see the Holy Spirit working through His Word, and it dumbfounds me.
Jim, we only got a few minutes. Nowadays, in our stripe of Lutheranism, we're being told by the allegedly wisest of minds that in order to reach unbelievers, people outside the pale of the Christian faith, we have to act more like the world, and in particular, more like kind of the pop evangelicalism that kind of accommodates the culture. What is your best advice as a convert to Lutheranism about reaching unbelievers and non-Lutherans? About a minute.
Stick with the Word of God. You know, Matthew 28:19 is absolutely correct. Preach, teach, baptize. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit working through His Word. The moment we start thinking we've got a program, in my opinion, we have failed. There is no program. It's just the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. So let's just tell people that.
What perspective does your past give you when dealing with people who are inquiring about the faith of the historic Reformation?
Well, as Luther put it, or would say it to me, at that time, I swallowed the Holy Spirit feathers and all. It was all about experience. It was all about me. And so I would say that, you know, that sort of experience, this sort of man-centered faith, which it really is, in no way informs the gospel. We have to get to the scriptures. You have to get to pure doctrine. But more importantly, those scriptures have to be delivered to people so that, you know, they're hearing it. You have a relationship with them, but we don't need to water it down.
This is a tremendous book, and thank you very much for giving us your time this afternoon. Before we let you go, tell us about this book, Wittenberg Confessions, Testimonies of Converts to Confessional Lutheranism.
It's a great book. There's 8 stories in it. Every single story is touching in its own right. But more importantly, and this is what I really enjoy about it, most everybody who writes didn't even know the other person was writing the stories, and the similarities of people who were in the evangelical world coming to Lutheranism are so similar. I think people are going to read this, especially lifelong Lutherans, and their eyes are going to be open. They're going to see the gems, the diamonds that we have in our hands as Lutherans. That's at least my hope.
Folks, you can find out more about the book Wittenberg Confessions, Testimonies of Converts to Confessional Lutheranism under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Jim Pierce is a small business owner in Seattle and editor of the new book, Wittenberg Confessions, Testimonies of Converts to Confessional Lutheranism. Jim, thank you so much.
Pastor Wilkins, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you and your audience.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. David Scare talking about the Lord's Supper, answering the most common objections from within the pale of the Christian faith. Now, also in the course of probably the next 30 minutes of the program, we're going to be joined by Pastor Matt Harrison live from Houston, Texas, at the convention, the 2010 convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, where just about a half hour ago, he was elected by a margin of about 54% as the next president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll have some questions for him and get his thoughts on both his election and the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will join us. We'll be talking with him, as we did yesterday, about Christ alone. We've got to deal with the law. There it is. It tells us what to do, and it makes one promise. Do this, and you will live. And of course, along with that promise, of course, on the other side of the coin, if you don't do it, you won't live. But why is it necessary for us to confess Christ alone to hear first that it can't be anything of us, which is exactly what the law teaches? Well, find out in the second hour of the program. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will be our guest. Our call-in number on the other side of the break, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, July the 13th, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, and you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. It's always great to hear people when they say, you know, it used to be about me and it used to be about my works, but now it's about Jesus and Him for me. When you hear that, you know you're really listening to a Lutheran. We'll be right back. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Many countries are growing increasingly concerned about their declining populations. It's getting so bad, we're seeing desperate attempts by officials to reverse this alarming trend. An Italian governor of the Lombardy region is paying women not to have abortions. Qualifying women will receive $5,000 in 18 monthly payments if they give birth. Russia has the highest abortion rate in the world. They're killing nearly as many babies by abortion as those being born. Here's a newsflash for these countries and many others like them. Pass laws to stop the intentional killing of future generations. Children are a nation's most precious natural resource. God isn't going to bless countries that condone killing them by abortion, including the United States of America.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.